Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
What I want.
Hi, gang. Interesting story here from CBS News. Not a topic. I don't even know what topic we could make. We got one of our grievances on Friday was, my grievance is when you guys say it's not a topic and then it becomes a topic. I don't know how this one could become a topic.
Well, I don't know. That was one of the best grievances we've had in a while.
But yeah, it was funny. But I just love the headline. A Belgian farmer was annoyed by the stone in his tractor's path. So he moved it. And the French border. A farmer in Belgium inadvertently changed geography by moving his country's border with France. The farmer was driving a tractor, apparently got annoyed by a large stone that was blocking his path. So he moved it, the big stone, slightly. Think about, a cinder block, maybe two or three cinder blocks big. Another person recently walking in the forest noticed the stone had been moved. The history enthusiast knew it wasn't just any stone. It was there to mark the boundary between France and Belgium.
That is awesome.
The marker, a stone?
It was a stone. It was a stone border marker. The marker had been moved about 7.5 feet, effectively giving Belgium more land. Says David Laveau, mayor of the Belgian village of Erquelens. He made Belgium bigger and France smaller.
When does the war start? Get the cannons.
This guy's my hero. This is the greatest story of all time.
The move could cause a problem for private landowners and neighboring countries, but people in both Belgium and France are having a good laugh over it. Says the mayor, laughing, I was happy my town was bigger, but the mayor of some French town, did not agree. The mayor of a neighboring French village told Lavoie, we should be able to avoid a new border war in the future.
Look, if we are at the point that we're still marking borders with a stone, I think there are probably better ways in 2021 to mark where one country's land starts and another one stops.
Like a map?
Well,
or a latitude, longitude. I mean, I think the stone was probably placed there several hundred years ago.
Yeah,
look, we'll call it right here. This is a stone right here. This is the border.
France and Belgium share a 390-mile border, which was established under an 1820 treaty signed after Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo 5 years earlier. The stones were placed there when the border was decided in 1819.
Wow.
The stones mark the border. Belgium.
Now they don't.
Listen to this. This is how serious it's getting. Belgian authorities plan on contacting the farmer and asking him to return the stone. But if he does not, The Belgian Foreign Ministry plans to open a Franco-Belgian border commission, something that has not happened since 1930. The farmer could face criminal charges if he doesn't move the border back.
Okay. Have you heard that Will Smith is getting jiggly with it?
You talking about his midsection?
Really?
Will Smith says he vows to get fit after, quote, countless days of grazing through the pantry. The Bad Boys for Life star this week sent out a photo via Instagram saying he is in the worst shape of his life and is planning to get back in shape by joining a new fitness program.
Big Willie style.
Quoting here. This is the body that carried me through an entire pandemic and countless days of grazing through the pantry.
He's not that bad.
Photographed wearing only boxer briefs. I love this body, but I want to feel better. No more midnight muffins. This is it. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. Now, I would argue the best shape of his life is when he played Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, sure.
Smith, 52, concluded by sharing he is teaming up with a fitness trainer, so he will no more get jiggly with it.
Seriously. I saw the picture. I mean, he has a little muffin top, but I mean, it's not bad. What was he, 50 years old?
52.
He looks good.
It's just funny because we're used to seeing him
skinny,
ripped and skinny. And like, I love that he posted this because like everybody, he put on a few pounds during the pandemic. He's owning it. He's like, human. We're done. I'm going to get back into shape.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good for him. The popular musical Hamilton was scheduled to return to Kansas City in September. It's being delayed. The pandemic has pushed it now back to 2023. The Broadway in Kansas City series making the announcement this morning, quoting here from Leslie Brocker with Broadway Across America, we're disappointed that our Hamilton dates need to shift a bit later, but understand that the complexity of relaunching these enormous tours will sometimes necessitate change. Instead of Hamilton, the Broadway season will open with Tootsie on November 23rd, 2021. Wicked is coming to Kansas City in January 2022.
Okay.
Hamilton returns in March 2023. Neither of those shows are included in your season ticket package.
You know what part of the problem is? It's not necessarily that they don't think they can make money or they don't think it's going to be popular. It's that the Broadway actors, I think, have been really hampered by the pandemic and how and when they can rehearse and travel. And it's not just the actors that travel. It's an entire multiple semi-trucks full of...
It's a production, literally.
Yes,
and figuratively.
Cast stuff, production stuff. Everyone that travels with one of those Broadway shows was basically impossible to do this past year. So they've lost a year.
Why can't they do what professional sports have done? I mean, it's more than just an athlete that goes onto the field.
Right.
They have an incredible production behind them.
I wonder if it's because they don't necessarily all live in New York. I don't know. But I just don't want people to think, well, why are we waiting until 2023? I thought everything was back open. I think it's because they lost an entire year of rehearsal during the height of the pandemic.
Well, it's not that Hamilton's being pushed back to 2023 everywhere. It's being pushed back to 2023 in Kansas City.
Correct.
I'm sure it's a tour. I mean, they're going to different cities. They had to cancel the one for this year, and so they're pushing it back to 2023.
And traveling shows are very different than sports because typically the teams maintaining a stadium stay with that stadium. They don't pack up the entire stadium, move it to the next city.
Fair point, but I mean, think about moving a professional football team from, I mean, it's one thing to move a basketball team where you have what, 13 players, handful of coaches. Moving a football team is, I don't know who the logistics people are behind the scenes, but man, that must be a weekly headache.
True, yeah. A lot of pads, a lot of equipment.
Tons of equipment. I keep that playbook under lock and key.
All right. I do not want to get in, nor do I care.
Here we go.
About the particulars of the Bill and Melinda Gates divorce that has, what, $130 billion at stake. I don't care.
Yeah, roughly.
However, it is being reported today, and maybe you would be okay with this, and maybe you wouldn't be.
They didn't.
Her spouse had a very close ex-girlfriend or boyfriend with whom they still shared some getaway weekends.
I'm sorry?
What?
Whoa, what have you read that I missed?
Bill Gates took getaways with his ex-girlfriend after marriage to Melinda. After marrying his wife, Gates would spend a long... No.
Yes.
Would spend a long weekend every year at a cozy beach cottage in North Carolina with his old girlfriend.
That's a hall pass right
Nothing
there.
Nothing was happening.
That's a hall pass.
The billionaire Microsoft founder made sure the bizarre arrangement was part of the deal when he married Melinda in 1994 and even told Time magazine in a profile in 1997. Quoting here, "We can play putt-putt while discussing biotechnology," he said of his private getaways with fellow nerd techie and ex, Anne Winblad, who is married to someone else.
Yeah, okay, great. Define putt-putt.
Gates revealed that he and Winblad started taking an annual trip to his ex's Outer Banks home when they began dating in 1984 after meeting at a computer conference. The close pair continued making the yearly jaunt down south together, even after the breakup.
No.
When Blad is 70, 5 years older than Gates, the secluded trips involved everything from riding dune buggies to hang gliding and quiet strolls on the beach. We share our thoughts about the world and ourselves.
Go back to the room and knock some boots.
No, I think he's saying in an unusual arrangement...
His wife in divorce filing called their marriage unretrievably broken.
Irretrievably, and that's a legal term.
Correct. Yeah, it's legalese for I want him forever out of my life, not to come anywhere near
me.
They
would each be in different cities, but go see the same movie at the same time and then talk about it over the phone.
Then just marry her. Weekend getaways.
I find it unusual, and it would not be something I would be comfortable with.
That would be a deal breaker.
I don't think anybody would be comfortable with it if there weren't billions of dollars being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite trips with Anna Curb when we went to Santa Barbara for a week to learn about biotechnology.
Yeah. and anatomy. 576-7798. 576-7798. This discussion about Bill and Melinda Gates, and we want to talk about Bill and Melinda Gates about as much as you want to talk about Bill and Melinda Gates. I get it. However, we were discussing this rather weird aspect of their...
It's unusual.
27-year marriage, where every year Bill Gates would go off on a friend's weekend with his ex-girlfriend, the woman that he presumably was dating right before he met Melinda. And they started to become a thing. And they would do this all the time. They would get together and stroll. And they would talk about bioethics or whatever the hell they'd
They'd watch really movies. And no one is suggesting that this has anything to do with the dissolution of this marriage.
Nor are we.
No, he was open in a Time magazine article about this years ago, that they have an arrangement, and Melinda agreed before they were married, that he would be able to continue once a year. Getaways with, it happens to be an ex-girlfriend with whom he remained close after they broke up.
And they're close in the sense that they would, even when they weren't in the same town and there was a movie coming out, so this tells me they talk on the phone regularly. If there was a movie coming out that they both wanted to see, but they weren't going to blow their weekend getaway to go see it, they would go see it separately in a movie theater
and then
talk about it on the phone. That conversation prior to the break spawned a couple of texts that I found as contradictory as I did compelling and interesting.
And comical.
From one texter, men and women can be just friends, which was followed almost immediately by this text. Guys and girls cannot be friends. So what is it, or which is it? If you're married or seriously dating or engaged or whatever, can guys and girls be friends or can they not be friends?
What do you define friends? Because friends, you talk from time to time. That's different than I'm going on a weekend getaway in the Hamptons with my ex.
Clearly.
I mean, to me, that is unusual. And no, I'm not suggesting that anything weird happened when they were off together. But there is no way in hell I would agree to any arrangement that looked anything of the sort. And I know you wouldn't.
Oh, hell no. Deal breaker.
At some point, jealousy would take over. No matter how not jealous you are.
I mean, you're going to spend the night in the same house for 3 days and talk about bioethics and your love of movies?
Stop it with that music. It's driving me crazy. No.
No way.
And if you find that person so intellectually interesting, who also happens, by the way, to be your ex-girlfriend, why is she your ex-girlfriend?
Right.
And do you not find me but intellectually stimulating?
He says that they agreed to this arrangement before they were even married and went as far as asking his ex-girlfriend, I don't want to say permission to marry Melinda, but basically, will you give it your blessing? And she did. She said, I think she's your perfect match.
She was wrong, apparently. Let's not do the Bill and Melinda example. Let's just break this down to its rawest form. Can men and women be friends? I think the answer is yes. Men and
women can
be friends. But, I went through my recent phone lists, and outside of women who are in my family or with whom I work, Dana Wright, I cannot find a single call that I would have made to a, quote, female friend. I can find guys in my phone log that I'm not related to, nor do I work with, that I have called, but not a single woman.
Most of my male friends are the husbands of my closest girlfriends that I'll call from time to time for advice about finances or about, you know, and I was thinking just the other day, I actually made a call because one of them's in finance and I had a question about some college stuff. But I mean, I'm talking like a 1.5 minute conversation. I have other guy friends, but we don't, not like this. There's got to be a happy middle between, never talk to somebody else and I'm going away for a weekend once a year in the Hamptons with somebody else.
Yeah, that fine line is when your significant other drops you off at the airport so that you can get on an airplane by yourself to go spend a weekend with somebody else who doesn't have the same parts.
From the text line, guys, of course men and women can be friends without intimacy. It's called marriage.
Oh, wow. Wow.
576-7798. From the text line, I got this. Scott, are you and Dana not friends? To which I wrote back. I thought I was explaining that earlier, but maybe I didn't do it well. I said, we are very good friends, in fact. I said, I think men and women can be just friends, but that I could not find a woman in my phone log that I wasn't related to or work with. I have several calls in my phone log to and from Dana, but she is the only non-family woman in my phone log.
And you never reply.
That's texts. I do answer your calls. I just don't respond to your texts. Let's grab Clay in Lee's Summit. Hello, Clay.
How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here's the deal. I think we're talking about people that are in a different stratosphere than you and I and everybody on the radio show that, you know, work 8 to 5
yeah.
to try to get through the week. So it almost, when I thought of, when I first heard, I'm 57, when I heard that he was marrying her, I thought way back in the day, 30 years ago, that there had to have been something, you know, agreed on, because, you know, you're marrying the richest man on the planet, and you can't tell me this guy doesn't have an ego going into a marriage.
Was he at the time, though, Clay, the richest man on the planet?
It was 94 when they got married.
And he was pretty close, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, why would he marry somebody just, okay, no prenup, no nothing? There had to have been something there, and it wasn't, so it didn't surprise me when I saw the split. They can split okay together, but those folks are dealing in money that would make weird choices.
Right, and the foundation, Clay, because I want to be clear, she is a force in her own right, with her own computer mind and at the helm of that foundation that gives hundreds of millions of dollars to fight things like malaria and smallpox and, you know, help clean water systems around the world. Mm-hmm. Here's another fact I didn't know. They are the largest, I think the largest combined farmland owners in the United States with a total ownership of 268,000 acres. Look at the land they own across the United States, Scott.
That's a lot.
It's staggering.
By the way, he was named in 1994 at the age of 38 as the richest man in the world at $9.35 billion.
How much?
$9.35 billion.
That made you the richest person in the world.
At the time.
94, yeah.
And now they're not even in first place with $137 billion. They're not even in first place.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I made a joke. I shouldn't say a joke. A couple weeks ago, Chris was buried in his phone, kind of had a serious look on his face, and I could tell he was texting. And I was reading in bed, and I look over, and his back was kind of turned to me, and I go, oh, texting our girlfriend, are we? And he looked at me, and he goes, I am texting a friend from high school because we just found out about the death of one of our classmates. And I went, oh my God, I am so sorry. I was kidding. I didn't actually think you were texting your girlfriend. He's like, you want to see my phone? He always says that. You want to see my, I mean, he's very open about both of his phones. I'm like, no, I don't want to see your phone. I will say this. I think he has more women friends and colleagues than I have male friends and colleagues.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe not.
By the way, men are naturally defensive when you're asked about something like that because we assume automatically that you're going to get mad about right. something. So you just immediately take the defensive route and start padding the landing, hoping for the best.
Pad the landing. By the way, speaking of relationships, I found this story fascinating. Jewelry brand Tiffany & Company is selling men's engagement rings for the first time in their 184-year history. Now,
selling men's
engagement
and
rings.
Women's engagement
right.
rings.
But yes, but for the first time ever, they've always sold women's engagement
right.
rings. They just started for the first time ever selling men's engagement rings. Now, you can see this coming, and the obvious is, well, yeah, I mean, the acceptance of the of homosexuality in American culture, gay men getting married, it's legal. Of course, there are going to be men
marketing
engagement
for that,
rings.
Of course.
Yeah. So it says here, with same-sex marriages recognized in almost 30 countries, jewelers like Brilliant Earth have begun offering gender-neutral engagement rings. Now, some of these rings, they would look like your traditional male wedding band, but it would have a diamond in the center.
Okay.
That was some of the that I saw online. But it was later on going down that I found this one. That it is becoming more and more common for women to propose to men.
Mm.
With one woman in the article saying that women proposing to men is quite romantic. with all this feminism and women empowerment talk, why can't we propose? And since Tiffany & Company is the brand that pushed the diamond engagement ring to begin with, it's the perfect time for the brand to reinvent itself and adapt to the 21st century consumer.
Why is it that I am the champion of all things women, all things left, all things feminist, but I still pause when it comes to that moment? And I think to myself, you know, as empowering as life can be in 2021, would I go in to Kriegel Mesh Diamonds, shameless plug, and buy a ring for Chris and get down on one knee and propose to him? Why am I stuck on that? I should be the one saying, yeah, bring it, propose to the guy.
If a woman proposes to a man, I don't care. It's almost like we have role reversal here.
Okay, however, for you?
No way in hell.
See, then why is that the case?
No.
Because you are now engaged. If she had popped the question, what would you have done?
I would have been mortified, embarrassed.
You think it's emasculating for a woman to ask a man to marry her?
Absolutely it is.
Really?
Yeah, yes. I'd probably find myself single because I would say no just based on principle.
Yeah, I'm serious. I
never thought of it as being emasculating. I thought of it as being like, for a woman, if I'm asking him, I think in the back of my mind, I would be worried, what's he going to say? Because if he wanted to get married, he would have asked me already and he hasn't. So why is the ball in my court to do that?
Can you imagine if Kelly had proposed to me, okay, and I'm wearing this engagement ring,
showing all your friends,
right? And we go home to St. Margaret, the most buttoned up,
yes,
proper woman that I know,
traditional,
very traditional, and I love her for it. And I said, Mom, look, Kelly and I are engaged, and I showed her a ring on my hand. And my mom would then say, where's Kelly's? Well, Mom, she proposed to me, and I said yes.
Yeah.
Get out.
No way. I would say no.
She'd say, I knew I loved Stephen more.
I wonder, let me look, what percentage of women propose to, it's going to be so low.
I bet it's 3%.
Okay. In 2010, this says only 5% of women had proposed to a man, but our 5% in 2010, but our most recent data in 2019 shows that has reached 16%.
No, that's too high.
I find that very hard to believe.
No. No way.
From The Atlantic, he said yes. Despite changing norms, it is still exceedingly rare for women to propose in heterosexual relationships.
From the text line, for the second topic in a row, I will say it again, you straight people are weird.
Among heterosexual couples, here we go, 97% of grooms report they propose to their brides, okay? Although one wedding planner, to be sure, has noticed a small uptick in women proposing to male partners in stories shared on The Knot or HowTheyAsked.com, which she attributes to the ongoing trend of couples outright rejecting traditions in accordance with their own desires.
From the text line, don't you think Kelly would have already talked to St. Margaret beforehand? So would your mom have really been that surprised at all? Margaret, I'd like to ask for your son's hand in marriage.
She would call you so fast.
Get out.
Get out.
Also, guys never really give a definite answer. So, like, a guy would be like, yeah, sure.
I guess.
I mean, do we have time?
I don't know.
Speaking of studies, when we get back, there's a story in the stack for all of you men out there who happen to have a larger nose. And
what?
If you are listening and you have, you know, a larger than average nose,
big honker.
What this study says about you. And ladies, you're going to want to hear it too.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister.
Yeah, Dana and I were just talking off air. It was 18 years ago today. 18 years ago that an EF5 tornado hit the Northland, did some serious damage to some neighborhoods up there, including the home of your husband,
Chris Katz.
Yeah,
lost his house. And anyone that lived through that day will never, ever forget it. It's funny, he said today that as more distance comes between him and that event, and as he gets older, it doesn't automatically creep up on him the way it used to. In fact, he said to me this morning, oh, Jamie wants to have me call into middays today. And I said, why? And he goes, it's the anniversary of the tornado. And he said, I wouldn't have even realized it had I not pulled up my calendar just to see what I had going on today. And I looked at the date. I was like, oh, yeah.
Really? He doesn't.
I don't think he dwells on it.
I'm not saying he dwells on it, but like there are certain dates in your life.
Yeah.
That when you see that, like March,
like your
March
car wreck
9th,
date. Yeah.
March 9th is my car accident.
Yes.
Date. I know it.
Yes. Dates of loss of spouses, parents, all of that stuff. But he said as more time passes, it just doesn't automatically occur to him that was today. But it is, and we thought we would acknowledge it. Also, this just cleared from the Kansas City Star. Remember that nutbag in Prairie Village that started shooting in 2019 near an elementary school?
Yes.
During drop-off and pickup, he has pleaded guilty today. 28-year-old Dylan Ruffin pleaded guilty to 2 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer and 1 count of discharge of a gun into an occupied dwelling. You remember the elementary school initially went on lockdown March 1, 2019, after gunshots were heard outside. Bullets pierced a classroom window, struck an area near the roof, and damaged a van in the Highlands Elementary School parking lot. He also pointed a handgun at 3 police officers, who I believe shot back outside of his, pardon me, Fairway home. It wasn't PV, it was Fairway, which was across the street from that school. Police found bullet holes in Ruffin's bedroom in the direction of the school. He will be sentenced July 16th, and I am hopeful that is a very, very long sentence because those parents and those kids and staff got very, very lucky that day.
Mm. Okay, I'm ready.
And then this study from our friends at the New York Post.
Is it clean?
I'm going to clean it.
Okay.
Snout clout. Larger noses, according to a new study, equal what you think I would say.
Okay.
Perhaps Pinocchio had a secret.
Okay.
In a study that'll no doubt inspire a spike in nose jobs, researchers have discovered that men with larger sniffers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The study is the first to demonstrate this relationship between that and nose size.
I thought it was hands.
To determine the connection, scientists examined the bodies of 126 recently deceased middle-aged men, measuring everything from the cadaver's height and weight to all of it. For the nosy study, published in Basic and Clinical Andrology, scientists approximated the measurements of that.
Well, that's not fair. What if I died in a cold climate?
And found that men with 2.2-inch snouts. Yes.
Your nose never stops growing, so how does that play
in? Is that true? What do you mean your nose never stops?
Now, you're thinking of hair and fingernails.
I'm looking at it right now. While the rest of your body shrinks as we get older, our noses, earlobes, and ear muscles keep getting bigger.
Is that why old people always have big earlobes?
Yeah, and gigantic noses.
I don't think they get bigger. I think they start to sag. The earlobe. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I just notice they get bigger.
That's because they're made mostly of cartilage cells, which divide as we age.
They looked into 2 groups. The men with 2.2-inch snouts measured from the top of your nose to the you know.
Oh, so not how far it sticks out, no, but how long the bridge is.
It's from the bridge between your eyes down to, and now everyone driving around at the stoplights, look to your left and right. People are touching their noses. They also
or looking down.
If you had a beak smaller than 1.8 inches, it also correlated.
It's an unfortunate distance.
What if it's been reconstructed a couple times?
Well, which one are we talking about? Seriously. All right, we got to get out of here. On behalf of our producer today, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Stevie the Third, my good Freddie co-host Data Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.